Before we get started with tonight's podcast, we got to give a shout out to our friends at Tavor.
Yeah, join Tavor for free and learn about the latest craft beer trends. Read humorous beer factoids that can be repurposed at parties to put standard beer nerds to shame.
And best of all, gain daily access to delicious, fresh craft beer you can't find anywhere else. Then have it delivered right to your doorstep. Visit Tavor.com today. Enter your email address and let the exciting world of craft beer into your life.
In fact, you can even get it a little bit cheaper by entering a special promo code WRONGSIDE10. It'll get you $10 off your first purchase of $25 or more.
Just check it out, Tavor.com, T-A-V-O-U-R.com. Hi, welcome in Wrong Side of the Pond. He is DJ Schweitzer. Mm-hmm. I am Jeremy Lance, back at the scene of the crime.
That's right.
Just a little over 48 hours ago.
I know. Just
life-shattering moment for me, right here on this couch.
Yes. And a moment where I escaped supreme embarrassment right here on this couch.
Yeah, you did.
Jeremy, of course, is making reference to the Little Wrong Side of the Pond Derby. Can we even really call it that? Because only one of the teams, and it was Little.
I mean, technically, Wickham scored more goals than Chelsea has against Tottenham this
year.
That's
a very good point. So that is certainly a point that we can give to this matchup and giving it a title of significance like a derby. What we, of course, are making reference to was Tottenham facing off against Wickham in the fourth round of the FA Cup. We'll get into that more here in just a little bit. We'll be talking about it at length. But Jeremy did come over. Luckily, the way the result works out means you're now allowed to come back for future.
Yeah, because that was almost two in a row where I got the better end of the deal.
Yeah. I would have been a lot more disappointed had that been the League Two side that actually had done it this time around. So not Chelsea.
I mean, hey, it doesn't affect your league standing.
That's very true. It doesn't at all. So we will talk about that game in much greater detail here in just a few more minutes. Lots on the agenda. Despite the fact that we didn't have any Premier League on the weekend, we did have a full slate of fourth round FA Cup games. It was a doozy of an FA Cup round.
Yeah, it was. I feel like this happens every couple of years. You get that fourth round, third round, where things just go bonkers.
Yeah, this year was one of those years. A lot of times I feel like we've taken off FA Cup weeks. We're like, yeah, whatever, we don't need this. We can take a little breather.
Yeah.
Can't do that this week.
No.
Because there was plenty to talk about. Two, there was also U.S. stuff going on. Like, actual U.S. men's national team game.
Well, I mean, there was a game, allegedly.
Mm-hmm. I think one took place.
People paid tickets for something. I don't know if they saw a game.
Yeah. Not many people, it seems.
Nope.
Yeah.
No.
But we will talk about the U.S. men's national team. We will be talking a bit about the cricket zone that is the January transfer window and U.S. players
that
may have been involved there. It's weird.
It's like, even if you look at the Premier League, and we'll get into this, like, you look at all the big names attached to Premier League transfers, it's people leaving the Premier League.
Yeah. Mostly in the direction of Asia.
Yeah, going there, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll talk more about those as well. And winners and wankers are in here, too. We got a question of the week that we'll touch base on. So there's plenty still to talk about, despite the fact there was no Premier League action to get into.
And thus, really no fantasy.
Bingo. Greatest part about that means neither of us fell this week.
Well, that's good. That's promising.
Yeah, we...
right back at it tomorrow, though.
That's right. Tuesday games in the Premier League means... By the time you're listening to this, potentially later, probably later.
Chelsea's season may be cratering.
Yeah, that could potentially be happening.
Literally, by the next time we pod, Chelsea could, things just go nightmarish for them, they could have a 2-point lead.
I mean, that wouldn't be that big of a gap, considering.
No.
What was it, 9 points? Not all that long ago?
I mean, yeah, and it's 8 right now.
Oof.
But you have Liverpool away tomorrow, and then you host Arsenal on Saturday.
Those are two big ones in a row.
Yeah. So this could be a very different story as far as they're concerned. But let's get into the soccer that actually happened.
That's right.
And that is the, we'll call it just the regular old, just special edition wrong side of the pond, Darby.
I do like special edition. It feels better than the little one.
Because it's not likely to happen too often.
No. And if we're really calling it like a little Darby, it would have been me like following Morecambe again this year. Right. I clearly have not.
No.
I know they started the year well, but I literally have no clue where they are.
I think things have not gone as well.
Hmm.
I think they've kind of floundered a little bit.
A little shrimpy, perhaps, instead of flounder.
Well, a little bit of a shrimp.
Yeah. But
coming up short.
Since we're not talking about them, we're talking about the team that does get followed out of our two previous League Two picks, and that is Wickham. And Wickham were drawn against Spurs in the fourth round, away to Spurs. First off, let's just start with this. Payday for them.
Payday.
Payday for them.
Getting paid.
Not only was it a game at a larger ground, which means they get a lion's share of...
Should have been larger, though. You guys had to rip those seats out.
Ooh, sorry about that. We did it just because we knew Wickham were coming over. But they get a 50% take of the actual ticket sales. But it was also a televised match nationally within England, internationally here, of course.
So actually, it wasn't televised in England.
Oh, really?
It was bizarrely just an international game.
Okay.
Like, it was just aired in other countries. BT and BBC chose not to play this.
They
went with Chelsea and with some of the other big ones.
We'll get into their weird choices here a bit later on in the program. Regardless, this is still a massive payday for Wickham. I mean, you're talking about at least one player's wages, like, now off the books.
We just went and got a player on loan. Today from Watford.
Well, that was probably directly related to the fact that you got this nice draw away.
Cash in hand.
Yeah, that's right. So
burning a hole in that pocket.
This is one of those things about the FA Cup that's really cool in that it's still a big deal and there's a lot of prize money to be divvied up and there are a lot of TV money to be divvied up. And this is why these big matchups for little teams are such an important deal. They actually go a long way into helping to fund the teams over the year or 2 years until they have an opportunity to put themselves in this type of position again. So a lot of people make a big deal about the Magic of the Cup, but I think this is the real Magic of the Cup. Like, this is
payday.
Payday for little clubs. It is really, really cool.
So let's talk about this actual match, because this was an amazing match. I didn't like the ending, but it was amazing.
I mean, I didn't particularly like most of the game, if I'm being completely honest, as far as a Spurs fan goes. I mean, it was... Tottenham looked terrible in the first half.
I think you kept stating that they looked like guys that like had never really played before together.
It's because it was a team that never had really ever played before. Spurs made 10 changes from the weekend before when they were playing in the Premier League. That's not all that surprising given they were playing a League Two team. And only two regular starters in the team. There were, I don't know, probably five guys in the team that were regular contributors on Premier League match days. But you would expect more out of a lot of guys that are, I don't know, probably rated as highly touted prospects. But it didn't much matter because you guys got off on the right foot.
It was early, actually like within a minute of the match starting, Paul Hayes had a chance to head in the opening goal.
We barely even sat down.
Yeah, I think you were still like moving around, getting things set.
Mm-hmm.
But then it wasn't long after that Wickham kept coming. And we kind of see this happen with matches where you have a lower division opponent come in. They kind of just run riot, you know, for the first, you know, hour of the match.
Just working on adrenaline.
Yeah, just going nuts. And then they wear themselves out and often have nothing to show for it.
Mm-hmm.
That was not the case, though, for Wickham, as about midway through the half, Paul Hayes gets one in behind Vorm, who had a great day.
Something like that.
Beautiful little shot there. One of the many moments where it was just a chaotic scramble in front of the goal.
Mm-hmm. And that just basically ignited further scramble out on the pitch. Spurs just got even sloppier than they had been.
Because they felt, I guess, it was like they were trying to
erase that.
Step it up
and
trying to solve the problem and ended up just making more problems for themselves.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. And in fact, just a short time after that opening goal from Wickham came a foul from
The young American,
Cameron Carter-Vickers, pulling down his man in the box with just a mistimed tackle, nothing malicious. He made an argument that he got ball. It wasn't a very good one. Turned down, and suddenly Wickham found themselves 2-0 up.
Yeah, it was Paul Hayes again from the spot captain putting that one in the back of the net. I think he's like 32, 33 years old. Not a young dude.
Hell of a day for him. Hell of a day. Real quickly, just a sidebar. One of the other really cool stories that you brought up over the weekend was the fact that Wickham's radio broadcaster grew up as a Spurs fan?
Yeah, yeah. Phil Catchpole, who does the radio broadcast for them for the online stream, and it's actually then also part of BBC Three Counties over there. So I listen to it through the online stream, and then it's aired actually local terrestrial radio over there on BBC Three Counties. Yeah, he's a huge Spurs fan. So luck would have it, right as they're getting ready to bulldoze White Hart Lane, he actually got a chance to call the match there. We even caught a picture of him.
Yeah, that's right. He did. Gave us a nice little like on Twitter. So we know Phil occasionally listens in. So if this is one of the ones you're listening on, buddy, hope you enjoyed the match despite the results. Would have been a pretty cool experience to get to call a game at a ground. You would have always dreamed of doing that.
Yeah, that's bucket list stuff right there. That's pretty awesome.
But like most of the Wickham contingent, he went into halftime thinking, whew, man, things are looking pretty good.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, hey, wow, this should not be happening.
The last time you came over for a derby, a podcast derby of sorts, we did a pregame or postgame picture where you looked really happy and I looked really sad. We did a halftime one of this where the results were duplicated. And we started making threats about how Jeremy was not going to be allowed to come back to watch games here anymore. And then we got a second half for the ages that ultimately allowed Jeremy to come back here for future games.
Yeah, it was Spurs getting out early, getting themselves back on the board, and then I pretty much looked at you and said, "Well, here comes the floodgates."
Yeah.
And shortly after that, it was Wickham conceding the penalty, almost literally in the same spot in the box.
That's right.
Where Carter Vickers, this time it was Aaron Pierre pulling back on whoever. I don't know, your player figured out.
I think it was Jansen.
Yeah, and he ended up taking that penalty.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, good for him needing that. A guy doesn't get many chances in goal. The new signing from the summer hasn't had many opportunities to open his account for Spurs. So good for him to get that. And it did really just open up the game entirely. You mentioned the floodgates, but it was a two-way floodgate thing. Like, literally no one was defending in this.
Yeah, which was surprising. I kind of... You know, it credit to Wickham. You would think a League Two side in this scenario would just be like, all right, we just got to just sit back and just weather this and play for the replay, like just live for the replay at the moment.
Nope, they weren't doing that.
No, they were fighting, and obviously, yeah, you start bringing on some of the first team guys. Dele Alli starts coming on. Soko was fantastic. Of course, you were really applauding his fantastic effort.
Yeah, boom.
Someone had the greatest tweet ever. I saw it later in the day where they said, Akinfenwa, Adebayo Akinfenwa, the big bowling ball of a man that plays for Wickham.
Yep, up top.
They said he's on the pitch, which makes him the second heaviest thing next to Sissoko's touch.
Oh, that's accurate. He did have a first touch in the middle of the field that literally went 30 yards and was picked off by one of your players. So accurate as hell. You mentioned Dele Alli came on, really was an instrumental force in the second half of the game. Not all that surprising, given he's one of the most mercurial players in England at the moment. Really did a lot in that, helped orchestrate a bit. We saw Son get the eventually was an equalizing goal for Spurs.
So jumping ahead in the story.
I'm sorry, my bad.
So, things keep going. It's 2-2. Getting closer. Like, wow, hey, Wickham might, this replay might actually happen.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Wickham bring on Gary Thompson, who I stated when he walked on, hey, that guy's older than you, DJ.
Which is one of those things that makes you both smile and cry a little bit at the same time.
He's 36.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm 34 for now.
Well,
got a few months until I'm 35.
He showed his youth.
He did.
As he netted the go-ahead goal in 85th minute. And you're thinking, holy crap.
Yeah.
Like, they could actually pull this off.
Like, oh my God. And at this point, as you're a fan of the Premier League team, you go, you know what? I'm fine with this because I don't really want the replay.
No, you
because
don't want the replay.
As a Premier League team and an already packed schedule, the last thing you want is to throw another fixture into things, especially as you're trying to fight for Champions League places, potentially titles, those types of things.
Because, I mean, you'd throw that replay would be, what, like next week or so.
Mm-hmm.
You're throwing that into February starting up, so European competition's back on the slate for you guys.
Yeah, no one wants that at all. So you kind of go, all right, I'm fine with this goes. It's cool. They're a little Cinderella story. We're going to be part of the story of the round. It's the pathetic and desperate as that sounds, and it sound right.
Congratulations. Yeah. By the story of the round.
And then...
2 minutes later.
2 minutes later, the goal I mentioned already when I'm
Dele Alli, Jamal Blackman, Chelsea loanee. So,
Don't know how to handle it.
Goalkeeper, bad clear, goes straight to Alli, who just runs it down his throat and just spires it.
Yeah.
And boom. All right, 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
So now we just need to park the bus.
And you're going, okay, this is good. A replay is good for us.
And then you got to find out what happens when a second league team plays a match.
Yes.
You get, for no reason whatsoever, 6 minutes of added time.
Yeah. I mean, we both went, oh, wow, that's a lot of time. And I think went you just like yep. League 2 game.
Just League 2 game.
Mm-hmm. And that it
like
was
6 minutes, like legitimately 6 minutes of added time is like mm-hmm. almost standard.
Spurs ended up getting a corner kick. I think what at 5 minutes and 50 seconds, probably take that corner,
try to clear it out.
We
even made it to the 97th minute essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to clear it out. They just couldn't. Just kick the ball more than 10 feet. I'm sure their legs were just jello at that point.
That's right.
And they're just, their nerves are frazzled because it's like, oh, we're almost here. There's the finish line.
Dagger.
Alas.
Dagger right to your heart.
I can't even talk about what happened.
I'm going to be honest. I don't even know who scored.
Son scored.
Oh, that's right. And it literally just, it's a feeling of relief. As well as a feeling of embarrassment that you're in a position that you're currently in. At the same time, too, you're just like all that Magic of the Cup stuff that people talk about. You're like, holy crap, I'm just living it. And I'm at the height of the Magic of the Cup.
The Magic of the Cup right there got harpooned in the chest.
Yeah, right there in the moment. Normally, the Magic's supposed to work the other direction with the lower team upsetting things and getting to go on. But Spurs do find that winner 4-3. Mm. You literally were like, there were seconds left, and they're literally worse. Like,
I was sitting there yelling. I was like, just clear it, and they'll blow the whistle. Just clear it.
Nope.
They didn't clear it.
That said, fantastic effort from Wickham in the match.
Yeah.
I mean, hell of a game. They probably earned themselves a boatload of fans and exposure here in the U.S. A good thing for them overall. Disappointing, obviously, from a results standpoint. The better team probably went on that day. I don't know that on the day.
Oh, really? The better team? The team that's like probably the most informed club in all of England?
Hey, look, don't chastise me for saying Real.
I mean, hey, it was 16 unbeaten for Wickham going into that match.
Yeah.
So they were cruising in their own right
mm-hmm.
Against, you know, in different challenges and different obstacles that looked quite different than the one that faced them that day.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, you had to enjoy it.
I enjoyed it. I told you that right mm-hmm. then and there. I was like, just the fact that I got to sit here and watch a match, as much as I've grown to love listening to the audio and the radio broadcast, like to actually get to see the team live
mm-hmm.
playing on the TV. Watching everything in real time instead of watching the YouTube highlights mm-hmm. the next day. That made
alone.
It for me right there.
That alone. I mean, Jeremy was on the hunt days beforehand trying to find a place to line up to watch this. I, of course.
And they both, I contacted all of the local bars we go to, and they're all like, oh yeah, we'll play it. And then I shunned them all.
Shunned them all and came here. It's because as parents, we're chained to our homes. And,
true.
You know what's up. But glad to have you over for it. Glad mm-hmm. that you are allowed to come back for future podcast derbies. It will be enjoyable again in the future. I'm glad that we took the spoils against a team that we should be taking the spoils against.
I'll just read verbatim my final note on this match.
Okay.
Sad, but proud.
All right.
It was.
I enjoyed the effort.
It was extremely disappointing at the end. Yeah, but
it's like
you can't snuff it.
Your dad telling you as you come off the field in defeat, saying, "I really enjoyed how much you hustled out there." Thanks, Dad.
I feel like that's something that actually did happen to you.
Yeah, probably did.
Let's whip around the actual rest of the lot of matches that we got.
Mm-hmm.
In the FA Cup, and the day started out poorly for Liverpool.
That's right. Things have really not been going well very well, like, period.
Three losses in a row. Three mm-hmm. in a week.
Yee.
Fall out of two cups within mm-hmm. days. Now, Klopp, did you hear about Klopp's silver lining on this one?
Oh, yeah, please.
They were like, hey, lose three matches, that's bad. He goes, yeah, it's really bad to lose three matches, but we lost three matches in three different competitions. That's way better than losing three matches in the same competition.
Silver lining.
So it is way better than losing three league matches.
Yeah, it's true. That's an accurate statement.
Like, ooh, you're not going to make it to the final of the Capital One Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, butter. Wreck my day.
Sorry about that.
Like, I'm pretty sure he's not really bummed out about that.
I mean, I have the strong impression that Klopp gives zero fucks
about
cup competitions. He's literally in it for the league and European competition. That's it.
Yeah. And he gets his wish as Wolverhampton Wanderers. So at least one Wanderers got the W on the day.
As long as one gets it.
Well, that's what's important.
Wolves claiming their territory.
Yeah, I didn't get to see what happened in the A-League if the Wanderers team out in Australia got a W.
I'll be honest, I don't know.
Nothing
about Bolton either, right?
They get the 2-1 win against Liverpool. That was at Anfield.
That's right. Not the best place for them to be leaving points on the table.
Yeah.
Especially in critical cup matches. But Liverpool... A little soul-searching moment. No Mane, he's out for the African Cup of Nations.
Yeah.
Coutinho not necessarily taking it full strength at this point. Are we reaching the point where Klopp teams tend to reach and that's they've been running to the floor and they can't run any longer?
I'd hope not. It's only January.
Well, we'll find out.
Running down the other ones, let's see, Blackburn got over Blackpool. That should have happened considering Blackpool is now a League Two side.
The Black Derby?
I guess.
Yeah.
Burnley getting past Bristol. Chelsea 4-0 winners over Brentford.
Ooh.
One of your teams won. Yeah, they didn't seem to struggle for a moment.
Mm-mm.
Neither did City as they played lower league side, Crystal Palace. Lincoln.
Look at this.
Are you wearing Crystal
Palace
shirt?
Crystal Palace shirt.
Right there you go.
Yeah, that's right.
One of the free ones you got this summer.
That's right.
We did have two Cinderellas on the weekend.
That's very big Cinderellas too.
One of them
too.
Being non-league Lincoln, 3-1 winners over Brighton Hove Albion.
I mean, that's a pretty awesome result for them. Look, at this point in this tournament, when you have non-league sides that are actually making it all the way into, you know, how many teams are we down to? Eight?
It'll be 16. 16 will be next.
16, but I mean, yeah. It's still a ridiculous number. I mean, there are 20 teams in the top, you know, top flight, 22 in all the top three flights below that.
And Brighton Hove Albion?
Mm-hmm.
Is sitting in the driver's seat in the championship right
now. That's right.
Their first place team.
So that's a major upset. You're essentially looking at an almost guaranteed Premier League side for next year.
I don't know. They did this to us last year. They were supposed to be slated for promotion and then...
Things tailed off. Yeah. But fantastic for Lincoln City, fifth-tier side, playing in the National League, making that huge result over Brighton. They're joined in the fifth round by fellow fifth-tier side... Sutton United.
Yeah.
1-0 win over Leeds United. This was classic FA Cup game. Red card.
Yeah. Did you watch any
penalty.
Of
this? Oh, my God. Yeah, I watched.
It was actually difficult to watch parts of it because the rain was coming down and there was times where the lens was covered in rain.
They kept having to cut away to alternate camera angles.
Basically.
And then they'd have to do it literally like 20 seconds later.
That disallowed goal that Sutton had early in the match. They went to go play replays of it, and you couldn't see any of it. because it was just giant raindrops all over the lens.
Awesome. I mean, nothing says classic FA Cup match like a camera that can't even broadcast the game because it's covered in water because it's not adequately covered.
So Sutton United move on.
Mm-hmm.
And do you see what's awaiting them?
Yeah.
They're going to host Arsenal.
Awesome.
On their turf, like, what, 4,000 seater? Even
yeah.
That? I don't know. We got to ask our man Charlie Hatch actually went and
watched
the match a couple months ago.
Suddenly, Charlie's relevant and an expert again. So, Chuck, take the next week off of school and you're going to come up and do the pod or something.
Other ones, United getting past Wickham 4-0. That was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Fulham getting the better of Hull City.
Mm-hmm.
Hull City was basically the Fulham of the Premier League, so this seemed appropriate. Millwall getting past Watford.
Mm-hmm.
Arsenal blowing past Southampton 5-0. Huddersfield Town 4, Rochdale 0.
Mm-hmm.
And then Newcastle United couldn't do it. They lose to newly promoted League One side Oxford United.
Yeah, 3-0.
Yeah.
Bit of an embarrassment there.
Yeah, that's also a bit of a bummer for Wickham fans, because that is one of their rivals.
Ooh, well, I'm sorry to hear that you had a little bit extra saltiness in your FA Cup fourth round. Fifth round results, as far as draw go, those are already in the books.
Yep.
And we've been treated up with some, I don't know, fairly tasty matches.
Yeah, we mentioned the craziest one, obviously, Sutton mm-hmm. hosting Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be incredible. But you're also seeing, and I'll read down through these, Fulham and Tottenham will be taking place, a little London derby in the FA Cup. Middlesbrough and Oxford, Millwall against to be determined. Burnley FC versus Lincoln City FC. Sutton United versus Arsenal, we already talked about. Blackburn versus Manchester United. Wolves, Chelsea. Huddersfield, Manchester City. So none of the Premier League sides
are
facing each other.
That's kind of good, right?
Yeah. There was a less than 2% chance that was going to happen.
That's crazy.
I love that.
Which is wild, because the third round had like an insane amount of Premier League versus Premier League matches.
Yeah, it's true.
That's when you don't want that.
That's right,
to happen.
Like 3 or 4 almost in that round.
Yeah.
But that's both like crazy in its own right. It's also kind of disappointing because you want to see the little sides matched up against one another because it gives them the opportunity to get even further. Like one of the two of them is going to make an even deeper Cinderella run. Now we're staring at a situation where it's not, you know, likely to happen, but pretty probable that most of the good teams will advance on and all these little minnows get squared off.
Yeah, that'll be exciting when that happens. Let's move on to, before we go stateside,
mm-hmm.
let's talk about the lack thereof. We are sitting mere hours from the window shutting in the January transfer deadline.
And yeah, let's think about this. We're recording this on a Monday night,
right.
Eastern time here in the U.S., which means we're into transfer deadline day.
Yeah.
In Europe, like literally the sun's going to come up here shortly and people are going to be on Sky Sports News for the next few hours standing in front of training grounds and outside of actual stadiums.
Reporting. I don't know if the sun's actually going to come up, but that doesn't happen much there.
You know what I mean, though. Like the day will begin and that type of coverage will actually unfold on television and we'll all try to search for some sort of live feed that will give it to us. Except for... Is anything even going to happen?
Like, I don't even hear any rumors. Like, you hear the insane ones that are absolutely not going to happen, and no one's betting on them to happen.
No one's buying Messi right now.
No one's buying Arsenal swooping in on Griezmann.
Yeah. No. You know what Antoine Griezmann would cost in January? He's probably already 70 million, period. Then you add on January tax, which is like, what, an extra 20% essentially. You're talking about he's suddenly the next 100 million pound player. I mean, this is ridiculous.
And Arsenal's going to flip that bill.
Yeah. No, they won't.
Okay.
Maybe once Alexis Sanchez leaves.
Dagger.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing we're hearing at Chelsea is that Begovic may leave because he's kind of really pining for, you know, actually getting a lot, you know, being able to play matches.
Ivanovic supposedly off too.
Yeah, he's going to Zenit. Yeah, that's, I think that's pretty much a done deal. That'll probably be announced tomorrow morning.
Feel a little nostalgic about that one.
It's rough. You know, he was a player that I really, really loved, but I mean, in the setup we have now, he really has no role.
Yeah,
and he played on the over the weekend in the FA Cup. Besides that, he really hasn't seen the pitch in probably a good 2 months.
And, which is crazy. Like 2 seasons ago, he's probably one of your best players.
Oh, easily. Our last title win, he was one of the most pivotal players in that.
And now he is gone.
Yeah.
Now he is gone. As we mentioned earlier on, really, I think the big news this window, we don't necessarily have like a marquee signing, and I'm getting ready to kind of leaf through some of the bigger signings that we've seen people actually unfold over the last, I don't know, few days.
Yeah.
And this month in general.
I mean, it's been a lot of the smaller clubs making moves. Obviously, the big one. It's been a lot of, as I said at the top of the show, a lot of guys leaving is really what we're hearing. We're not hearing a whole lot of like, oh, they're gonna make the big move on this guy. No, it's a lot of guys going. Obviously, the Dimitri Payet thing finally got resolved. He's back in Marseille.
Yeah, somewhere in the region of 30 million euros, what it would be 25 million pounds ultimately, that he ended up going back. He was kind of a stinker through this whole process, so, you know, refusing to play and not really talking about what it was, but being pretty shady about it when he did talk about it. Glad he went back to where he wanted to go. You know, you want guys to be happy. Jeez, it just comes off as awfully selfish.
I did.
6 months after signing a 5-year deal.
I did like the nonsense coming out of the Hammers faithful, referring to him as a player, being able to sell a player past his prime.
There it is. There it is.
Really?
There it is.
Someone actually had like the two tweets from like the same like fan account. Back to back, like next to each other, and one of them is that, and then like right next to it is like when they signed him, and it was like, and you get your dream player for this much money.
Unbelievable. But I mean, looking down, we talked about Payet, but a lot of these guys are leaving, heading off to China. That's been like the story of this window.
There was someone else I just heard about like today that's possibly looking at a move to China.
It was Ighalo from Watford.
He apparently doesn't
even want to go.
But
a 20 million pound came.
Watford's going to
bid came in and
going to go ahead and sign that.
And let's be honest, he's having a bit of a down year compared to his last year.
Sell that guy.
Yeah, get
he's
it.
Not worth the price that China's paying. For
I guess
by any means.
The other crazy thing is you know, we're so focused on England. We think about England, and it's been like the central hub of transfer windows for pretty much the last decade. But of the players that did move around, most of the big name moves fell outside of the Premier League. So you look at something like Julian Draxler, who left Schalke and headed to Paris Saint-Germain. Gabriel Jesus, he was probably the marquee in Premier League signing.
Old Jesus.
Heading to Manchester City.
It's like really the only big name that's entered the Premier League in the past, you know, like month.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. We talked about Payet, Morgan Schneiderlin. Here we go, getting into some actual Premier League transfers, heading from Manchester United to Everton.
Yeah.
Speaking of Manchester United, another player leaving, Memphis Depay. He's heading back to France to play for Lyon. That once you get down below this, though, I mean, it's literally Chinese teams like left and right. So I think this is the window that we're going to talk about is the Chinese window, perhaps, like the window where China came in and was like, we're
going to take all your,
we're now just spending silly money.
Yeah.
So,
and it's leached into all aspects of world football. Even in MLS, you're hearing about, Giovinco getting looks now, from China. And he, as much as he said he's happy in Toronto, it's like both you and Toronto really can't completely ignore if China's going to come roll out the checkbook for you.
Well, in particular, because with MLS teams, they paid a transfer fee to get Giovinco last time around. I'm assuming they'd like to recoup that, probably at a profit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there aren't a whole lot of places you can sell a middle-aged player from MLS to actually get serious money from him. So may as well sell him off.
China, man, just coming in. I mean, Chelsea's lost two players to China.
Three.
Because Ramirez won right at the beginning of the season.
That's right.
Ramirez, Oscar, and then John Obi Mikel.
And nearly Diego Costa.
And John Terry is apparently, possibly going there this summer.
Can only imagine a gigantic John Terry mulling about in China.
Look out, ladies.
The Chinese Godzilla.
Hide your girlfriends.
That's right.
All right, before we go stateside, since transfer deadline is garbage, mm-hmm. and there's nothing to talk about as far as what's happening in the Premier League.
We're going
to
talk about some American transfers here.
Yeah, there's actually been a decent amount of that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what we're enjoying tonight.
Yeah, that's right. So back after a new shipment came in, our good friends from Tavora provided us with a new round of podcast hydration. And this time we got it from Hair of the Dog.
And it's out of Portland.
That's right. And it's a beer called Fred.
Yeah.
Nice and simple. A golden special ale.
10%.
Mm-hmm. A little malty.
Very malty.
Mm-hmm.
Very good, though.
Enjoying it.
Very good. And if you want beers like this, we definitely recommend checking out Tavor.
All right. The first half of the pod is done. But we need to take a quick break to thank, again, our friends from Tavor.com.
Tavor is the craft beer pioneer everyone's talking about. This innovative service bridges the gap between craft beer fans and cutting-edge independent breweries from all around the country.
You can sign up for free and gain daily access to an extensive, highly curated selection of fresh craft beer that you can't find anywhere else and have it delivered right to your door. Join for free by visiting Tavor.com and entering your email address. Let the exciting world of craft beer into your life.
And for our listeners, we have a deal for you. Enter promo code WRONGSIDE10. You'll get $10 off your first order of $25 or more. All right, let's go stateside now, and let's continue with the whole transfer theme, mm-hmm. because we've actually had a decent amount of transferring heading in to MLS.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of national team players.
Yeah.
Making moves here in the past week or so.
Yeah, I mean, there's just been a bit of movement, and some of it's been guys who are on the fringes.
Right.
Others are guys maybe a
little
bit more
involved. Do you
want to
start with the fringe, since that happened today?
Yeah.
Oguchi Onyewu signed by Philadelphia Union.
So he's...
I didn't realize he was still playing.
Yeah, one, I don't think any of us did. But his name's been around for a while. He's been, training with some teams. He was down in the championship training with someone for a little bit. It was on a six-month contract somewhere else. Guy has been on the hunt for work.
Yeah.
And there, I guess there was more than a few MLS teams worked him out recently. And ultimately, he goes and signs a deal with a team that has one of his former teammates playing in the front office.
Yeah.
So Ernie Stewart pulling strings there, getting Onyewu in. And I love to offer some, analysis on this, other than the fact that I've not seen the guy play in half a decade. Couldn't even tell you if he's good anymore.
Can he run?
Yeah.
Can he stand upright for, 70, 80, 90 minutes?
He's a really large guy. So
he tried to fight Zlatan.
Mm-hmm.
So he always has that story to tell.
It's a great story to tell, too.
That is a really good story.
Imagine being able to tell that story.
Well, Zlatan even told, in Zlatan's book, he actually had a whole page about Oguchi Onyewu.
Yeah.
Trash talking him.
Hmm.
So that was that one, talk about a move coming out of left field.
Yeah, I mean.
Oguchi Onyewu may still be good at soccer. We'll find out.
Yeah. I mean, there was talk of him getting worked out. Freddie Adu was getting worked out by the Portland Timbers,
yeah.
I think.
There's a guy who couldn't get regular minutes in Tampa last year.
Yeah. He hasn't really gotten regular minutes anywhere he's been recently.
13 years, 13 clubs. That's your story.
Journeyman. That's the word you look for, right?
Someone who is not a journeyman, but we knew this move was coming. The subsequent moves that all happened around it had happened weeks ago. But Brad Guzan,
mm-hmm.
Going to Hotlanta.
Not right now.
Eventually.
Eventually going there.
So how does that work happen?
So ultimately,
is he going to finish the entire Premier League?
He's going to finish the Premier League season with Burrow. Ultimately, what it came down to is they weren't able, reportedly, to find a backup keeper that they liked better than Guzan. So they're holding on to him for the rest of the campaign, and he'll be joining up with Atlanta once the Premier League season is over. So this is really comparable to like the Frank Lampard situation a few years ago. Finish it out with Manchester City before. I'm sorry, I know that bothers you, just me mentioning it that way.
Really, yeah, I was a huge fan of that.
Yeah, but he'll finish that out before moving on. So Atlanta will have to use one of their 37 other goalkeepers in the meantime.
Yeah, they have a lot, whereas like Minnesota like went large stretches recently until they finally just brought some guys in.
How about
Minnesota?
That?
Minnesota!
I don't know. I mean, it's a different approach. It's not the Atlanta
approach.
That
is one way to describe what's happening.
Atlanta is going, we're going to spend some money. And Minnesota is going, we are a smaller market, and we're going to try to piecemeal and money ball this thing together. The manager that they brought in even speaks to that to an extent. And Adrian Heath, a guy who is used to building from kind of smaller market, kind of
they just brought in
teams.
One of his former players from Orlando.
That's right.
Kevin Molino. Paid a decent amount to bring him over.
We're now seeing transfers, like getting dollar amounts attached to them in MLS too, which is, I don't know, I kind of like it.
Well, because they've always been like, oh yeah, and this move happened, you know, and they traded Tam or this.
And we're like,
general allocation money. And now we finally actually know what those money signs are.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool
It helps to kind of know what guys are valued at.
Mm-hmm.
That's always helpful and kind of thinking if they have met their worth or not.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Spector also, we talked about it, I think, last week. He finally did make that move. He is going to Orlando.
Yeah, we thought it might be, and that's what it turned out to be.
We still don't really know what's happening with Mix Discaroot. He again did some Instagramming from Norway again this weekend.
Okay.
So he's, as preseason officially pretty much starts here. I know you guys at FC Cincinnati had your first meetings today all the players in. As preseason camps, you know, wind up, he is still in Norway.
My guess, and he was left off of New York City FC's
right,
preseason
roster.
Right,
so he's not expected to be there.
He's probably going to be playing back in Norway is my hunch.
Sounds like it.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of guys that ply their trade overseas, Joe.
Which is, let's hold on though, which is interesting. With the timing of that, with now having a national team manager that a lot of people think will favor the players playing domestically, and Mix is a guy who's, I think his stock has kind of been fluctuating a lot within the national team lately. Could this really kind of spell a potential, at least short-term, demise of his national team career?
I wouldn't put it past that. He's not been involved in the national team for a couple camps now.
Yeah, he's kind of been off the radar, but now you're moving, you know, you're going back to Norway possibly, and you got a manager who's really kind of more in sync and in tune with the guys playing in America, and you've now taken yourself out of that group.
That's right. Seems a risky choice.
Okay, Bix.
All right,
buddy.
Yeah. But let's get into, now that we've talked a lot about moves and potential places that people are going, let's talk about some of the actual soccer that's happening on domestic matters, and that's with the national team. No mixed discord, but lots of other players that were called in.
Yeah.
You know,
people actually on MLS rosters.
That's right. Almost entirely on MLS rosters. But some names that we've not seen for a while. Darlington Nagbe, who was on a professed breakup with Jurgen Klinsmann while he was running the team. Benny Fellheiber, who had been cast out in the cold by Klinsmann ages ago. Kleschen, who was rarely in Jurgen Klinsmann's plans. These are all some of the names, you know, just a few of them that we saw in camp. But we actually get to see a second time around first team from Bruce Arena this weekend.
Yeah. I feel like we can't read anything into anything on this one. Can't even read into the selection because he's only picking from MLS players. Can't read into, you know, what they're doing as far as... I mean, the only thing that we learned technically that he was doing as far as thinking long-term is that he subbed out Jermaine Jones because he knows he has to play someone else in that role in the actual qualifier because Jones is suspended.
Yes.
Like that's literally the only thing we know that was like, oh, yeah, that's him plotting for what we're going to be doing in the actual games that matter.
I don't know. I think the other thing that was given away was the fact that we are going to see Michael Bradley playing a deeper role. I mean, he was insanely deep in this game.
Yeah.
And that's the area where everyone seems to think he's better suited, and I would think he probably even feels the same way. So I think we did get a little bit of a blast of that. We expected that to happen, but now we know kind of for sure, like, hey, Michael Bradley's going to be playing in his more natural position.
Which, I mean, I'm happy about that. I want that to happen. So that's one positive to take about.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the match, I just, whatever.
That was pretty quiet.
It was a terrible match.
But look, it's January camp.
Yeah, it was January camp match. It's not going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Serbia not exactly trotting out their best team.
Right, who do they even bring?
People with Baltic names.
Yeah, not Matic or Ivanovic.
Yeah. But, I mean, they didn't necessarily look sharp either. It was just two teams that were kind of like guys trying to get their fitness back, trying to learn the systems, trying to feel out how coach feels about them. That's all this was at this point.
And upwards of 15,000 people got to come and watch that. I know it was announced 20, but let's be real. It was not. There was not 20,000 people in that stadium.
No, probably not.
A stadium that seats 70,000...
That looks awfully empty.
That was a bad choice.
Yeah.
I know you really don't have anywhere else to play, but that was a bad choice.
In that market, but...
No, in that market, you have nowhere else to play, because unless you're going to play, I don't know where, you can play at the baseball stadium.
I mean, that's the trend these days.
I mean, there's nowhere else to play. I mean, that's even where the San Diego State Aztecs play their football as well. So the only football stadium is Qualcomm.
Yeah.
Which is currently, for some reason, still have NFL lines on it, even though their NFL team left. It was
That's
awkward. It was kind of like seeing, like, you go to your buddy's house, and he, like, still has, like, a picture on his desktop of his girlfriend that left him, like, a year ago.
Yeah, like, oh, why is that happening?
Why is that still there?
Okay.
What are you doing?
Somehow that happened. All right.
Let's transition, though, from that. As we speak about San Diego, they had their big hangout with Don Garber today, as they are one of the prospective 10... Now 11, possibly more clubs. Mm-hmm. It's just all a mess.
Yeah, let's start with the possibly more.
The possibly more, yeah.
Yeah.
So Phoenix is officially more.
Yeah, they have said they are in the hunt. They are going to be bidding. I don't know if that means they're going to be doing it by this deadline. That
I was going to say, because that's tomorrow, right?
Yes, that deadline is definitely
tomorrow. It's Tuesday. As you listen to it right now, those things are being delivered.
If you tuned into this podcast hoping, because the deadline was tomorrow while we're recording this, and then potentially passed by the time you're listening, hoping that I would give you some sort of insider information on what's going on with that process. I'm sorry, this is the wrong podcast that you're looking for here. And in fact, you're probably not going to get one. Our team's really keeping buttoned up about this. It's just a fact of the matter. They are confidential applications. All these teams that are publicizing things are maybe doing it at their own peril. I don't know if that's the case or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's really too much harm to doing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think from a optics of all of us looking at them, you can look like a bit of a dork doing some of the stuff if you try to get a little too ambitious in your, and here's, like, it's almost like you're asking them out to prom in high school. Like, you're trying to do some grandiose gesture.
A prom proposal.
Just hand in the portfolio.
I will say this. I don't want to be too judgmental about what I'm seeing happen. Obviously, I have skin in the game here.
Yes,
and
you do.
I would be pulling for one city over all the other ones without really any debate.
St. Louis.
Sure. but it really is funny from like a psychological standpoint just to kind of watch and like, why are these teams publicizing? Why are these teams not publicizing? could or should they be doing it? Is this something that teams should be? It's really fun. Like,
we'll find out.
It's really fun to sit through all this. I've said this to a couple people this week, and I don't actually mean it, but there are times where I kind of wish I was still independent in this respect, because it's a really fun and fascinating time in, like, American soccer history. Like, to be able to talk and write about this with zero strings attached and no punishment if I were to say certain things would be fun in a lot of respects. But, too, I get a view behind the curtain that I wouldn't ever have otherwise.
Right.
So, regardless, I'm watching as a fan and being like, this is really fun to digest. Look, there's a lot of people that are going to have a lot of really high emotions wrapped up in this process.
Well, I mean, we have 11 plus cities bidding for what is essentially four spots, four mm-hmm. chairs at the table.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's going to be seven or more people bummed out when it's all said and done.
Yeah. And
that all their work, all their hopes are going to be for naught when it comes to this.
Well, we certainly don't wish any ill will on anyone. And if you want MLS in your market, by all means, like, chase it as much and provide as much help as you can.
But yeah, so we do have Phoenix that's possibly in, as we mentioned that before. Mm-hmm. San Diego had their big thing where they handed it over today. Mm-hmm. Tampa showed up today.
Yeah, they went to the MLS offices and delivered their bid packages.
Missed the memo that mm-hmm. Don Garber was in San Diego.
We're hand delivering ours.
Okay, good deal. Good deal. I would imagine most of them are. I don't know who's like if you're spending all this effort on that bid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're just going to drop that off like a FedEx? Like, really? No.
I mean,
I think everyone's probably going to do something like that.
I don't know.
Right?
I'm sure we investigated FedEx, but at the same time, I think you get a little bit more, you know, I took the effort to send a human being here to do it. You do actually, by the way, have to deliver a physical copy of this to the MLS offices. So it's not like something you should just email across or drop it on your FTP.
Not just, hey, here's that PDF.
Yeah, put it on Google Drive and download it. MLS, no, that you do actually have to deliver a physical copy. It's going to be a fascinating, like, 8 months, 9 months, 12 months to watch this all unfold, because we now see these new cities that are coming in as well. We mentioned Phoenix. We keep hinting at there was another team. It's looking like at this point it's Indianapolis.
That's breaking as we were just kind of getting ready to crack the mics here.
Seems to be pointing that way. So I wouldn't be shocked if...
Just when NASL thought they had all their ducks in a row as far as teams committed to the cause there. Mm-hmm. You got Indianapolis, one of their more successful and healthy clubs there going rogue in the 11th hour.
Not their first time, by the way, trying to bat their eyes at Major League Soccer. So
yeah.
Keep that in mind, but it's just it's going to be really, really fun to watch. And regardless of what city or team or club or fan base you're pulling for, I'm going to enjoy it. And I think everyone else should try to make an effort to do that as well.
Yeah. A lot of stuff there. We will see as it all develops. I know there's already been multiple cities that, you know, like St. Louis and Charlotte, there's already been government saying, you know, at the local level, we're not going to give you that money. And that's out there, so that can't really help those bids. So, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, we're going to have to hold on.
Winners and whackers?
Before we do that, we have a question of the week.
Oh, that's right.
We have to hit.
Yeah.
That question of the week was an accompaniment to last week's question of the week, which was, well, we wanted you guys to tell us last week about your worst kits in professional soccer. Worst logos, excuse me. This time, we're wanting to know about the best logos in professional soccer. So should we do the fans first, or our listeners' suggestions?
Let's do the fans first.
Okay.
And I think this was a harder one to do because it's so easy as a fan of a soccer club to want to pick your club.
Mm-hmm.
Because as someone who loves that club, there's this emotional affinity to when you see that badge.
It's true.
I mean, you own several articles of clothing and mm-hmm. stuff like that has that on there. Like, there's a very deep connection.
That's right.
With that,
some people will make awfully terrible suggestions to best clubs Because they're blinded by their own love for their club.
Yeah. Blinded by the light.
Yeah.
Wrapped up like a douche or whatever it is. What's the lyric?
Something along those lines, I'm sure I think. So. Yeah. So we did see a little bit of that here. So we saw people submitting some of their favorite ones through our good friend Gage Magoda, longtime contributor, longtime listener. He suggested up Columbus Crew along with several other options. Gage, by the way, is a massive Columbus
Blinded
Crew fan.
By the light.
Can we just say? Can we just say it? Look,
it is a beautiful.
It is a beautiful.
The redesign, as redesigns go.
Mm-hmm.
A freaking grand slam home run.
It is one of the best ever redesigns of a logo that I've ever seen, regardless of sport. So credit to them. Gage also tossed out Newcastle's logo, which I thought was kind of a weirdo one. Not that I dislike it, but it has seahorses on it.
Yeah.
FC Barcelona, which to me seems like a puzzle of pieces that were just kind of crammed together a little
Here's
bit.
Here's three things that we like.
He also provided Gangju Evergrande.
I actually like this logo because mm-hmm. you know how most logos have like Latin? This just has English on it. Good. It just says be the best forever.
Which is about the most Chinese logo or like
like saying
you could ever give, be the best forever.
Forever. How long do you want to be the best?
Forever.
Mm-hmm. Other people pointing out Indy 11 badge.
Who?
It's a good badge.
It is a good badge. Lots of city elements incorporated, the tower in the center of the city center and the flag is kind of incorporated too, even has a little bit of a racing feel to it, given Indy's racing, so it's a fabulous crest as well. Our buddy Adam Maloney threw out three kind of bigger teams, but all have great branding, Inter, as in Inter Milan, their overlapping crest, one of those better overlapping ones. There are a lot of like crests that have the interlocking letters from the team's
yeah.
names.
Like the Dodgers.
Yeah.
LA is interlocking.
Yeah. Inter has one of the better ones. Roma, which got a recent renovation recently, kind of spiced it up and modernized it a little bit and cleaned things up there a little bit. And then Guadalajara, Chivas. Again,
that was an interesting play.
Yeah, it's kind of a heraldic, kind of shieldish type one.
Yeah.
Which is a little uncommon in Mexican football. So those are all great suggestions.
Chivas USA one was better.
Slightly different. It literally says Chivas USA instead of Club de Guadalajara.
Yeah.
We also got a couple other Mexican suggestions. Pumas in Mexico have one of the best coming from Ed Zelaski. It's literally a like kind of Puma face.
Yeah.
Kind of
in a kind of rounded off triangle.
Yeah. It's definitely a solid one. Usually worn enormously on the face of the jersey itself. What were some of the other ones we saw suggested through? Ryan Lammy suggested FC Kaiserslautern because it looks like fuck.
That's his reason.
That's literally what he said.
That's what he went with.
Yeah. It does a little bit look like fuck, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It literally almost spells it out.
It actually, gotcha. It looks more like that brand. Was that FC UK or whatever the name of that like kind of fashion-y brand is? German logos sure. on the whole are like, as funnily as we're
large
watching,
letters.
Yeah. We're watching Bundesliga, highlights in the moment, but there are a lot of these just really like
large
super
letters
simple crests and circles. Not any more than like 2-3 colors.
I mean, look at Dortmund. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think a very well done logo, mm-hmm. a very classic looking logo, but
it's literally just a round circle with three letters
yeah,
in it. Just,
yeah.
And two numbers.
Yeah. Two colors. I mean, you're very basic.
But yeah, well, lots of good suggestions coming in on that particular front from the listeners.
All right. Let's go with ours.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, one, and it's weird. I kind of went very North American in my answers here.
Interesting. All right.
One that I absolutely love and was so glad that it did not get bastardized by Adidas and MLS.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota United.
Yeah.
Freaking great logo.
It's one of the few logos I can think of that came into the league and they didn't modify it in any capacity.
Right, yeah.
Like if any other ones have, and I don't know that there was. And there's a lot of discussion as to whether or not it was going to be the case when they already had a fantastic logo and they stuck with it.
You know, I also, because I work in the NPSL, wanted to give some love to, I think, three wonderful logos. Outside of the Dayton Dynamo one, that's a lovely one that you created.
Yeah.
I'm glad
someone else suggested it.
Didn't want to sit here.
I didn't have to pat my own back.
So to avoid the circle jerk that would have became. I picked three other ones.
Okay, fair.
Within thanks. NPSL. Lansing United.
Ooh, that is a good one.
Solid.
Mm-hmm.
The Brooklyn Italians.
That also
really, really good one. Got the Brooklyn Bridge right there in the center of the circle. The Italian flag colors throughout. And then probably one of the better logos I've seen in a long time. I mean, we, especially here in America, there's a new logo coming out every week of some new team that's popped up.
Seriously.
Chattanooga FC. Their logo is just fantastic.
It's just, it's simplistic. It's,
yeah,
it's well adorned.
It's borderline perfect.
Yeah.
It's borderline perfect.
Those are all excellent suggestions.
Any
from the European realm?
You know, not really. I just felt like that was just too on the nose. A new logo that I've found that I've really, really fallen in love with is the new Puebla logo.
Hmm. I don't know.
Out of Liga MX.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember the old Puebla logo. It was like the big white kind of police badge looking thing with a sash across it. It just said Puebla.
Yeah, I do remember that one.
So they abandoned it over the summer. I went with this guy.
Oh my God, what a sexy looking crest that is.
Yeah, look at that thing.
It is ornate.
Yeah.
It's got some crazy style going on to it.
So it's a throwback in a sense. I guess the original logo. So it's your typical circle badge. It's got Club Puebla, 1944 at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Then it has in the center circle I forget. There's an actual name to it, but it basically like with a famous a silhouette of the famous church in Puebla, mm-hmm. with two like angel look like things like hovering around it. That's which cool. That was part of their original logo back in the 40s. And then a soccer ball, and then just here in the bottom, you can see in the bottom corner there a bit of the sash that they're very famous for.
Yeah,
just so, a little piece of it, just a little sample. Just
super
a little
taste. Well done.
Yeah,
super well done. Any others?
You know, that was pretty. I was thinking like within Europe. I mean, I think there's a lot of decent badges.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a whole lot of badges that I don't already have an affinity for because I love that club. That sure. I'm not like just blown away by like, oh, look at that crest.
All right, fair point. I do have some good ones myself. I'm going to go a little bit off the beaten path as far as you went.
Okay.
I love, absolutely love Galatasaray's logo. Love it.
I do like
an
yeah.
interlocking S and G, very Art Deco-y kind
yeah.
of feel to it.
In the little oval.
Yeah, just love that particular one. Inter Milan was one that was already mentioned by Adam Maloney. I love the kind of symmetry to it and the overlap. Also, really big fan of Celtic's logo.
Yeah.
Something about the clover, just a very iconic, you know, kind of imagery that they have going there. Something that can kind of go beyond just the team itself and fits really well with the overall uniform aesthetic they have going for them. I'm going to be a bit of a homer here. I absolutely freaking love Tottenham's logo.
Like, there it is.
I'm going to throw it out there. I have to do it there.
And so you like the current iteration of the logo.
The current iteration of the logo. And I know a lot of Spurs fans will want me to eat my hat over a comment like that. But from a purely design standpoint, I love the fact that it incorporates both old and new. It incorporates an element of the stadium that's been around for a long time and the cockerel that stood atop White Hart Lane. But a more modernized take on that. That cockerel's been a part of their logo for a long time. But
so of all the logos they've had since you were a fan, that's your favorite version of it?
Yeah, I mean, there's only been two since I've been a fan.
Okay.
But at the same time, leaps and bounds. It was one of those ones that a lot of fans took negatively at first, but it stood the test of time. Even Gunnar Dave, I'm glad I'm bringing it up now, but he sent us an email and wanted to let us know, hey, even though he's an Arsenal fan, he loves Tottenham's crest.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool one.
I enjoy it.
I think it's a really good one, too.
I absolutely love that.
You know, I you bring that up. If I were to look at Chelsea's history and which logo of theirs I like, when I fell in love with Chelsea back in like the early 2000s,
mm-hmm.
You know, they had that where it was just the CFC kind of creating almost an L shape kind of
with the lion above
the
it.
Lion.
Yeah,
loved that logo.
Yeah, it was a good one as well.
Any other ones?
Outside of that, I have some others that like kind of borderline. I kind of like Paris Saint-Germain's logo, although I prefer the older one as opposed to the more modernized one they just recently did. The thing that spawned this entire discussion, the new Juventus logo, I freaking love. I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think it's great, but it also has that kind of same feel that the Spurs logo has. It's kind of a modernized, different kind of take on a more traditional logo and feel. So,
modern yet simple.
Yeah. So, those are a few of my other ones that I thought were pretty worthy of recognition.
Winners and wankers?
I think it is about time for the winners and wankers. Do you want to get us started?
My winner, and it basically the winner can be you, but the winner is the fact that a fantastic documentary, I was telling DJ about it before we got going, has made its way to Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know the story of the Sons of Ben and the supporters club that well preceded the Philadelphia Union and just mm-hmm. the story of how, like, literally these guys just saying, hey, we're just gonna create a supporters group for a club that doesn't exist, and maybe if we just keep doing this and just keep plugging away,
like, we'll get a team.
Like, it'll just happen.
And it did happen.
And it did happen. And it's a really cool documentary. Watched it last night. Really enjoyed it. So Sons of Ben on Netflix now. I think it must have just been put on. It's the first time I've seen it on there.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely go check that out.
My winner this week, I'm giving it to Wickham midfielder Dominic Gape. Is it Gape? Gapi? Gape?
It's Gape, yeah.
Okay. Earned a second half yellow card against Spurs for a pretty nasty grab of a jersey.
Oh, I know where you're going with this one. It's pretty classic.
On Dele Alli. And it was, it was a really bad shirt pull in the middle of the pitch. Like, you could literally, he was probably a body's length shirt pull away from Ali as he was
pulling
away. And
he didn't just have a little bit of the shirt.
No, he had a fistful of that thing. After the game, he tweeted out, "Don't worry, guys, I got it in the end." Showed a picture first of him pulling Dele Alli's shirt, then showed a picture of him in possession of Dele Alli's shirt. He traded shirts with him after the match. Great banter.
I retweeted out. It was hysterical that he did that. But it does point to something that's really cool is, these League Two guys, they're professionals. They play, they play in a way that they command respect just as much as any other player. But at the end of the day, like, they're also fans of, like, the big name players in England, just like you and I. And
that's right.
When they get the opportunity to swap jerseys with these big players, they, like, absolutely
they
go for that moment.
Chomp the bit for it. So, but really cool of him to kind of get a little bit of banter in, take the loss a little bit in stride. Really just enjoy that in general. So, cheers to a Wickham Wanderer.
Your wanker.
My wanker? I'm giving my wanker to the FA.
Okay.
And this is over the fact, and I kind of alluded to this earlier, Gary Lineker today, BBC pundit, that the Lincoln replay would actually be shown on the broadcast against Brighton, but the FA has refused that and told them that they had to show Manchester United's game against Wigan instead. Look, this was like a marquee match for a little team. Manchester United needs $0 from the Football Association. Like, not at all. They literally chose this over a viewership. And look, this is a dollars and cents game. They're always going to choose the game that's going to get more viewers. Like,
yeah. I mean the Tottenham Wickham match kind of was victim to this as well.
Exactly. But it just goes to show that, like, people will want to watch this. I think more people may have even potentially turned up to watch Lincoln play in their particular match against Brighton than people who would have rather watched Manchester United smash Wigan. Like, from a purely interest standpoint, most third-party people would have preferred the other. So it's just a really douchey move on the FA's part. They, of course, have denied that this was the case, but I think it's pretty likely that, just economics won out there. So screw you, FA.
The FA is the worst. My wanker goes to Shettleston Jr.'s keeper.
Who?
Shettleston
Jr.
All right. This is, I believe, in Scotland. Sure, we'll go with that.
Sure.
Their keeper, Gary White, was sent off in the 72nd minute of the match because during a little stoppage in play, he walked behind the goal and took a piss.
Whew. This look, he is hardly the first keeper to do this. I can think of Fabien Barthez did it, I think, while playing for France. I'm almost positive that happened. This happens at least once every couple of years. Landon Donovan, known to take a piss on the field while stretching. Like these are things that regularly occur.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he
But I've never heard of anyone getting sent off for it before.
Yeah, it was a little weird. He even tweeted out afterwards. He protested that he didn't think it was that bad of a deal because or what he did was that bad because, as he put it, Gary Lineker got away with much worse at the World Cup.
That he did. Gary Lineker making two appearances in Winners and Wankers today, actually not winning either of the awards.
No, just crapping himself.
Yeah. If you don't know anything about that, watch the video.
So just in one story, crapping himself, and the other story, ratting out his own network.
Yeah. One of the two.
So awesome.
Yeah. Good overall. that brings us, of course, to the end of this week's podcast. Thanks to those who contributed their answers this week. If you would like to contribute your answers or you want to ask us questions, propose topics, any of the above, get in touch with us. contact@wrongsidethepond.com. You can reach us via email if you want to get us via the Twitters. Jeremy's at Jeremy Lance. You can also find me at wrongsideofpond. We want to hear from you. Get in touch. Plenty of good stuff coming in the pipeline. We're going to do a USL preview show here in the coming weeks. Hopefully start recording some of the segments for that.
Yeah, I guess we got to get on that, don't we?
Yeah. Be a little proactive here for a
change. Yeah, we might actually need to try.
Yeah, reactive is better for us, I think.
That's how we roll.
That's right. Have a good one.
Bye. Before we leave, of course, we again need to give a shout-out to our friends at Tavor.
Tavor is the craft beer pioneer everyone's talking about. This innovative service helps independent craft breweries connect with thirsty craft beer fans from all across the country. Every day, you'll learn about fresh, dynamic beers that you can't find anywhere else.
You'll discover the beer's story, history, all sorts of entertaining and trivia-based tidbits that will turn you into a beer connoisseur in no time. Join Tavor for free by visiting tavor.com and entering your email address. When your monthly shipment of beers arrive right at your doorstep, you'll turn your home into the best tap bar around.
So make sure you visit Tavor, TAVOUR.com, and make sure to enter a special promo code just for Wrong Side of the Pond listeners, Wrong Side 10. It'll net you $10 off your first order of $25 or more.